There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live.
When you win two of the last three national titles, you walk into Media Days with a little bit of swagger. That's Clemson coach Dabo Swinney doing that at ACC Media Days in Charlotte and down in Hoover, Alabama, the coach he's met in the last four college football playoffs. Coach Nick Saban rolling into Hoover, Alabama, trying to get back on top after shaky end to last year. How about those Crimson Tide? The Alabama Crimson Tide 14-1 in 2018. Of course, they lost to Clemson in a national championship game 44-16, and well, there's been some turnover in that storyline, right? Five coaches left for that 2018 staff. New OC, Steve Sarkisian, and defensive coordinator Pete Golden. That's all right. You know this guy, right? Tua Tagovailoa, Heisman runner-up and top three wide receivers of that offense. They're all back. Average 45.6 points a game. We got an opportunity to catch up with Tua and his coach earlier today. Now joined by the head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Nick Saban, and another big Game of Thrones fan, Tua Tagovailoa, the starting quarterback. I'm going to get into that in a little bit, but it's about football this week. Everybody kind of turns their brain on. And, Coach, ultimately coming off of last year into this year, well, what's the message for this team in 2019?
Well, I think you don't want to ever waste a failure. So, obviously, you know, we didn't do some good. We did some things that weren't so good at the end of the season that we'd like to improve on. I don't think we played with the same kind of discipline at the end that we did in the beginning. I don't think we had a culture of accountability on our team in terms of people being responsible to do their jobs at a high level on a consistent basis, which is all my responsibility. And everybody's got to put the team first. And it seemed like there was a lot of distractions at the end of the year. You know, a lot of coaches leaving, a lot of, you know, players thinking about things that maybe weren't just about our team and what we needed to do. That's all my responsibility. I didn't do a good enough job of managing it, and we need to do it better in the future, and hopefully the players learn from it.
Tua, in the championship game, there were some reads that were very un-Tua-like. Mm-hmm. You watch him, you see him, you say, what were you thinking there? What did you take from that? And was that just a situation where, hey, there's pretty good defense, or was it some things you looked at and said, I could have been better at this?
Yeah, well, I think they played great defense. Yeah. You know, they played sound defense. But I think from the aspect that the second half of the season was the part where I threw six interceptions. It was just a matter of us, I guess, being satisfied that, you know, what we did in the first half of the season is going to fall right into the second half of the season.
Coach, I always wondered, it's amazing that you guys can stay successful with the coaching turnover that you have, but I think more amazing to me is the ability to recruit. I asked Tua before you got here, was the same coach at the school that recruited him out of high school, how are you able to continue to recruit the way you do with coaches leaving? You're on these kids when they're sophomores, all of a sudden that coach is gone. How do you still bring these kids in as the coaches continue to leave?
Right. Well, I think that, you know, we try to create an atmosphere and environment where a player has more, a better opportunity to be successful in life for having been involved in the program. We do a lot of personal development programs. We've got a great history of academic success with our players. We have career development programs and got a pretty good history of developing football players. So we're trying to create value for players, and that's what we kind of sell in recruiting. And we got a pretty good track record of guys don't get in trouble. We got a great academic, one of the best academic records in, you know, the United, in college football. We got guys being successful. We got the most guys drafted, most guys playing in the NFL, win the most games. So people see that, and it doesn't happen by accident. It happens for a reason. And that culture of accountability that we talk about is what helps these guys. And I think when we're recruiting, people see that. Certain guys like that, and they want that challenge. And so that's why I think we've been able to continue to be successful. But the thing that you lose in recruiting when coaches leave is the relationships. And that can be detrimental at times.
From a player playing for coach, because everyone always talks, Dabo Swinney's this great guy, and Coach Saban has just grind you to death. From a player standpoint, how enjoyable, and if it's not enjoyable, you can say that also, how enjoyable is it being under Coach Saban?
Well, I mean, it's fun, you know. a quick story.
Act like he's not here. If it's not fun, say it's not fun.
Coach ain't here right now.
Okay.
So, in the summer, all right, so I'm sending Coach my, like, pictures of my weight, all right? So, like, I'm coming down, trying to lose weight, because Coach has set a goal, you know, for the weight that I need to be in. So I'm sending it to Coach, telling me good job and whatnot. Well, I think I end up calling him to see what's, I don't know, I think it was for, like, a football camp or whatnot. So I call him, and then I ask him to, I mean, I ask him if he's watched Game of Thrones, and Coach just, I mean, turns into, like, a different person when he talks about Game of Thrones. And, like, he told me if he ever had to recruit, he'd go up north, you know, he'd recruit those guys, and he would never, like, recruit the White Walkers because those guys were the bad guys. It's, like, stuff like that. So, I mean, if that tells you, you know, a little bit of his personality outside of just football, I mean...
More conversations about Game of Thrones and the ending than 44-16. Is that safe to say, kind of going forward in this year?
I think so. I hope so. Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, Coach Saban, you put it on onus on him to get into better shape this year. Where are you at? You're not at your 10,000 steps today. I know, where are you at on your steps?
Oh, I'm not at my 10,000 steps. CNN ended up popping up real quick.
Okay. where are you at though? How many steps have we taken today?
I'm only at like 3,000, but I mean, I only had to go
right
to
now. Come on, get him in. You can go right there. We'll talk to Coach Saban. You can get him in right now. I want to see this.
No, but I
don't know if this
thing
works.
There should be no misconception about his work ethic and getting in condition, because he was in great condition last year. I think where he got a little bit sidetracked was when he got injured late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
He had to sit out for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
He couldn't practice in condition like he wanted to. Same thing in the off season for a while. So that affected him. But when he was challenged, he got right back.
I'm challenging right now.
He's in fighting weight right now.
I mean, he's trying to get those
summer.
Steps in. Right?
He's had a great summer.
Is he just going to go back around and around and right there? He's just trying to go back and forth. Hey, but listen, no shortcuts, right? I mean, that's right. The fourth quarter program and whatnot. You got to make sure you get it done.
And don't look at the scoreboard is another one.
We learned that lesson, right?
Yeah.
Coach Osmond, what's the best part of the process? Is it the games? Is it the building up? Is it this part of the season? Is it the off season? What's your personal favorite part of everything around football?
You know, I don't think there's any one part that's more important than the other. I enjoy recruiting, and I enjoy coaching the players. Those are probably the two things that I enjoy most, because I enjoy the relationships that you get from being around the players and coaching the players. But there's a lot of other things. You know, the process is nothing but a definition of what you have to do to accomplish the goal that you have. All right, so whatever our goals are, there's a lot of things that a lot of people need to do to be responsible and accountable at a high level on a consistent basis that they do. And being in a position of responsibility, whether you like it or not, you got to try to make sure that everybody is doing that
mm-hmm.
on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. And so far this season, I think it's gone pretty well. We had a good off-season program. The summer is going pretty well. Personality of the team seems to be developing like you like. So I'm kind of happy so far.
Now you just need to get about 6,000 more steps in, and you'll hit that goal.
I do.
Gentlemen, best of luck coming up this season. We appreciate the time.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
So what did the Tide have in store for everyone? There's a look at the schedule in 2019, opening up in Atlanta against Duke on the 31st of August. They begin SEC play September the 14th against Will Muschamp's South Carolina Gamecocks. We'll talk to Coach Muschamp here in a little bit. And Bama gets Ole Miss, Tennessee, LSU all at home, while they got to go on the road. Texas A&M, Mississippi State, and Auburn. All right, we replace Nick Saban and Tua Tagovailoa with a former Alabama quarterback.
Is that great?
Yeah, that was...
depending on how you look at it, yeah, maybe.
You're fresh. I know you're excited to talk about this because it was a big debate between y'all two before this show. Has Bama had lost a little bit of that intimidation factor that they seem to have for the longest time in college football?
What they've lost is the gap between them and everybody else. Like, for a while there, starting really in like 2011. They already won a championship at that point. But from 2011 until about 2017, they were the most talented team in college football, with the rare exception. Ohio State in 14 would be a good example of a team that was on that level. And the gap really wasn't that close in a lot of ways. They had superior personnel at almost every important position. Now that gap is essentially gone. Clemson proved it last year. They were the better team. And in one-on-one matchups, for the first time in a really long time, we could point to and say, you know what? Clemson has an advantage there. So I think that's really what's changed, is that Alabama is still an intimidating team to play against, naturally. But there are also teams now that are not intimidated and in some ways more talented than what we've seen from Alabama over the last year or two.
It's interesting, and even with what Greg is saying, he's still naming one team out there. Mm-hmm. Ohio State in 2014, Clemson last year. In the long hours that I've been here working this week, the conversation has still been Alabama.
Right.
Can someone beat Alabama? We even talked about Georgia. Is it a bigger surprise whether they get to the championship or beat Alabama, as if it is a foregone conclusion that Alabama will be in the SEC championship game? And so, to me, the intimidation is still there, because in every conversation you have about the top teams in the country, Alabama is in that conversation, and there aren't many teams that can say year in and year out, Clemson is getting there, but year in and year out, there's not many teams that get in that same conversation.
And Georgia's trying to get to that point. Kirby's got a good team. Remember, they've played 120 minutes of football on a high level the last 2 years. Georgia has either been tied or led Alabama in 119 of those minutes, yet they're 0-2.
Yeah.
Right.
It's still that intimidation factor late in the game. All right, you're talking about Dabo. We'll hear from Dabo Swinney as he was over in Charlotte, ACC Media Days. Was he taking a couple of shots at the SEC? You got to hang out and find out. And if you want a little bit more of that, you can get the ACC Network coming August 22nd. Visit accn.com to check availability. If you don't see your provider listed, demand they carry the ACC Network. Them storylines for the Tigers coming off a 44-16 shellacking of Alabama in that title game, and of course 15-0. Dabo, a lot of smiles on his face, rightfully so, because that guy's back. Trevor Lawrence back for a sophomore season, leading the ACC in passing touchdowns. He had 30. He's co-favorite to win the Heisman, and Tigers have to restock that defense. Led the nation in sacks, including losing three defensive linemen who went in the first round. So Dabo Swinney, how much different have you changed over the years?
We've kept the main thing the main thing. We haven't changed anything since 2009 when I got the job. It's the same thing. Same deal. It's just, you know, we stayed the course. We stayed committed to the vision of the program, even when sometimes it didn't make sense to other people, or other people wanted us to do this or do that. You know, we stayed the course. And I think, you know, God has blessed us with an amazing journey, a great group of people, a group of young men that have chosen to come in and buy in and believe. Because I can be the greatest coach in the world, but if the players don't buy in and don't believe, it's not going to work. And so we've had a bunch of selfless players and staff that have bought into the philosophy of the program and how we do things, and it's been a great journey. But you know, we're just getting going. We're just getting going.
They're just getting going. When you win two of the last three national titles, you're in a pretty good direction. Greg, when you look at the difference in the styles between Saban and Dabo, what's the biggest difference? What do you take away from that?
They couldn't be any more opposite, and yet the results are relatively similar. We've seen them in the college football playoff each of the last 4 years. Both have two titles. So you have a really unique situation with what Dabo Swinney's created. Great continuity amongst the coaching staff. Tremendous respect. He kind of delegates responsibility to each side of the football. And you go over to Nick Saban. He's had that entire coaching staff poached all over the place. He sees so many former assistants that have gotten up to the podium that are now head coaches throughout the SEC. You have more militaristic approach. It's just different. It's completely different. And yet the results are the same, because it's funny, Joey, I feel like back in the day, the old age old adage, well, you can't be a player's coach in college. They'll walk all over you. That's changed in large part due to the way Dabo Swinney has run his program.
You'd have to say that Coach Saban has had to coach coaches as much as he's had to coach players.
Yep, absolutely.
So many coaches leave. You bring in new coaches. We asked him about the recruiting, how difficult that is, but he's been able to win. When you look at Clemson, I had a chance to go there in the spring, and you talk to the coaches. Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator, has been there 9 years.
Yeah.
Tony Elliott has been there 9-5 as the OC. And so you talk to these guys, and it's like, we love it here.
Yeah.
We don't want to go anywhere else. And we talk to them about, do you have opportunities to leave? Because everyone's been wondering, what is Venables waiting on to be a head coach somewhere? And he's like, I have the best situation for myself, my family. We're right. Building something. I love being here. It's just a different situation, right? The results have been impressive on both sides. They just do it different ways.
Crazy stat, though, real quick. Out of the last 4 years, Alabama has had 22 different assistant coaches on turnover. Clemson's only had two. That's an unbelievable way. But yeah, guess you, they're still very productive in their way.
Right.
Talk about very productive. How about Wiggs? You want to show this? Because this is awesome. How about this? John Simpson and the Trevor Lawrence wig. That's a good look.
Trevor,
show me what he looks like.
That looks like, that's look like Trevor was like a platinum blonde. I mean, that's... Did you get it bleached a little bit there? Because I feel like Trevor's got those golden flowing locks. That looks more like platinum.
A little curl on it.
Yeah, I'm a curl on the
end. I'll say Trevor wore that better. But I do have a question, right? Going into this season, we talked to Alabama and Clemson. Better season. Where are we rolling with? Are we going Tua or Trevor?
The thing comes down to who wins the national championship. Will be the guy that has the better season. And I've always said that Alabama plays motivated better than anyone else in the country. They just lost one. And in the fashion that they lost to Clemson, they'll be motivated. I'll take Tua.
I'm shocked that the receiver didn't go with stats, because I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence. And it's going to be because Trevor Lawrence, the competition that he's playing against, isn't going to be as high as the competition that Tua Tagovailoa will play against. He's not playing against LSU and that remarkable quarterback, cornerback tandem. He's not playing against a defensive line like Auburn in the regular season. So I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence, but it's in large part due to the fact that I see Clemson as so dominant compared to the rest of their ACC counterparts. It's going to be tough for Tua to match that production.
All right, you, real quick, you got one game and you can get one guy to start for. You taking Trevor Lawrence, you taking Tua Tagovailoa?
Well, we had one game last year, and who outperformed who? I love Tua to death, but Trevor Lawrence outperformed him in the one game that they shared the field.
I think I'm going Tua. He's been highs and lows. You want your quarterback to be through some battles,
yeah.
And Tua's been through battles, and he's seen it. I'll take Tua.
We might see him battling for ages, right? Going into the NFL, because that may be the case,
they're gonna,
right?
They're going to grow old together playing against each other.
I would imagine the case. In fact, you knew it was going to happen, right? Yeah. Trevor, Tua, what they're going to look like in a couple of years. What do you think?
Oh, man.
Right? I'm a little uncomfortable with that. Tua still looks young.
The face app is just taking off, Peter. I feel like you're the one that's really pushing this thing.
Yeah, definitely
forward.
Pushing it.
The bad part about it is I don't want to know what kind of privacy concerns that I gave out for that. We go back in there. Let's stay in South Carolina right now, because we head on over to Will Muschamp's team, because now it's the Palmetto State, and it's kind of crazy, right? Recent years, the battle for that state has been very one-sided. Tigers held ahead the upper hand over South Carolina, winning 5 straight matchups against that in-state rival. Got an opportunity to catch up with Coach Will Muschamp earlier. Joining us now, College Football Live, one of my favorite guys to cover here in the SEC, Coach Will Muschamp. All right, we've been having a debate on the show. Will Muschamp, the player, if he comes in right now, is he going to commit to playing for Dabo Swinney or Nick Saban? Which one? Will
Nick Saban.
You were quick.
There's no thought process there.
There's no thought process on it. No?
Absolutely not.
Why is that?
Defensive coach, philosophically aligned the same way. So a lot of reasons, and I don't know how much time you got.
There it is. All right. See, I thought you might go Dabo, because all the kids are talking about, oh, it's so much fun. But when we had Coach Saban and Joe, you were talking about it. Yeah. It's a different style, but both of them have their version of success.
That's right.
Coach, you're in year 4 now, and the process starts, and we watch coaches. You have to get your own players in there, do your own recruiting, make the system yours. Where are you guys at now? And you're going into year four in that process.
Right. Well, Joey, this will be our best team, and it should be. It's like you said, we've got a senior cornerback back. We've improved on both lines of scrimmage, the quality of depth on both lines of scrimmage. We've got good skill position players, in my opinion, offensively. I think we're more talented in the secondary than we've been. We need to be more consistent at linebacker. We need to be more consistent at the running back position to continue to take steps forward, and we'll see how that goes in fall.
All right, last thing, all the coaches are kind of wrapping their vacation mind up and on their DVR list as well, too. What's the one show you got to finish, or you just finish, or you get ready to just put away for the season?
Well, my wife and I last night watched Big Little Lies on HBO. Pretty good series. Reese Witherspoon was good.
That wasn't just you. It was you and your wife, right?
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Sure
you're not going to ask him the Alabama-Clemson?
I know. Which one? You ready to do it?
If you could pick one, we were out here batting this around. If
Alabama, I don't even know what the question is.
You're going to pick one to beat. Clemson or Alabama? And you're saying Alabama.
I mean, obviously, you've always talked about, hey, what in-state for you is always what, like a four-hour radius?
I thought you were telling me to choose between the one I wanted to be a part of.
No, if you could beat one of them.
Yeah.
Well, we need to beat both of them. That's what we need to do.
Hey, I figured that was going to be the answer right there. Big Little Lies, he's a big fan of it. He's also one of the best coaches in the SEC. He's Coach Will Muschamp. Thanks, Coach. Man, I'm loving all these interviews without Greg McElroy in there. Joey Galloway, you are killing it right now.
I'm loving them too.
You are. Age challenge. We're going to have some more fun on College Football Live next. This is awesome. Sierra hosting the 5th Annual Sports Humanitarian Awards Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern over on ESPN. Night to honor athletes, teams, and sports industry professionals who use the power of sport to make a difference throughout the world. And the net proceeds of the event benefit the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund at the V Foundation. Greg McElroy, Joey Galloway, Peter Burns here. And G-Mac, we've talked about this face app, and I know that you couldn't get enough of it. I know of all the things in college football, you're can we just please bring up topics like this?
Absolutely.
So all for you right here. College football stars and all the guys we know, we had to do it, right? We had to put a little bit of an older look on them. How about our boy Jalen Hurts, who, it's a little different look. And, of course, he's not the starter, remember?
How many years is this adding? They look like they added like 70 years.
Literally,
I would say 65-year-old Jalen Hurts. How about Bryant? We're going to go all Mueller right now.
I mean, how about
that? Actually looks like the grizzled veteran right now.
That ain't bad. I mean,
Mike Gundy looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah, he can actually roll with that.
Solid.
Right?
Still got all his hair.
Yeah, it was a nice solid coif that he had. Ed Ogeron just looks, I mean, listen, you'll look like that in 2 years if you keep losing to Alabama, right? I mean, that's kind of the situation.
That's actually probably sneaky accurate, right? Like down the road. Coach looks pretty good too.
Yeah,
not bad.
He took a beating.
Really? You think so? That's an elder statesman.
Yeah, that Clemson loss aged him. That Clemson loss got him.
You say that now. You don't say that when Steven was up on this thing right there.
Friendly,
look at you boys. Wow.
No.
Good luck, gentlemen.